Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more by going online to AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about Piedmont at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Very pleased to have with us today two members of the Victims Advocate Services with the Sheriff's Department, Tina Marsh and Robin Cruz, and we're going to learn all about what they try to do to help out victims, and there's just too many of them out there, and I bet you they both kind of wish they didn't have their job would dry up and they could go do something else, I'm sure. So let's start with some introductions. Tina, tell us a little bit about you.
It's an honor to be here today. My name's Tina Marsh. I'm with the York County Sheriff's Office. I'm one of the victims advocates that serve at the Sheriff's Office. I've been with the Sheriff's Office now for 9 years this April, and I serve in the capacity of victim services in the York Police Department and Hickory Grove, Smyrna area.
All right.
So that's my responsibilities.
Okay, Robin, same thing with you.
Again, thank you so much for having us here today. I'm Robin Cruz, and I've been with the Sheriff's Office 10 years as of February 28th. I started out in the Records Division, and then I moved over as an administrative assistant in the Criminal Investigative Division. That's the detectives. I worked there with them for 4 years, and then always had my eye on victim services, though. I watched those girls in there and saw that so many calls were transferred to them. If there were issues, it was like, get that call to victim service, get that case to victim service. And so I always knew that was a place I wanted to end up. And I was lucky enough after 5 years to be chosen for a position in victim services. So I've been there now for 5 years. And I serve the clients or victims in the Rock Hill area. And then when we're on call, we serve the entire York County. And then we have two other advocates in our area.
So the total is what, five? Four or five of you? Five of you that work on this. So your job is to do what? How do you explain what it is that you do?
Well, as victim advocates, we do wear many hats. So it's not just the advocacy part of victim services, but people call us for a variety of services, and we're there to assist them with whatever we can do when they give us that call, whether it's holidays coming up, they don't know how to get services for their children, they have a court case coming up, they're not sure about what to do, if it's summertime and they need a fan because it's hot outside. So our office is not just victim services. We cover a lot of variety of needs that our community tends to call the sheriff's office for.
But your primary function is when there is a crime, mm-hmm. to be an advocate for the victim?
Absolutely. And we advocate for them. We make sure that they're treated with fairness, with mm-hmm. dignity, with respect. We advocate for them for resources. Mm-hmm. We follow them through the court process, if it's magistrate court, and then there are other advocates that take over in general sessions that work with the solicitor's office. Mm-hmm. But any resources, government resources, community resources that we can advocate for them, if they have questions, we're there to help them through this process.
So does this cover just about any type of crime that could happen?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's correct. We are not limited just to domestic violence, which that is pretty much the bulk of the calls that we get. Oftentimes it's domestic violence, which is a very serious issue within our county and in our state. In our state of South Carolina, I think we're ranked maybe number 5 now in the nation and that's with victims who are murdered because of domestic violence. So we've made some progress. I remember when I started, I think we were around 1-2 when I started 9 years ago. So now with a lot of the laws changing, the restructuring of how we respond and what's happening within domestic violence, we've bumped up to number 5, but we still have a lot of work to do because it does often lead sometimes to homicide. So that is something that we do cover quite a bit, is domestic violence. And then you have the general assault and batteries, you have the criminal sexual assault cases, child abuse, elder abuse, petty larceny, so it can go all the way down. So it does keep us quite busy when we get those calls.
So here's a personal question. Yes, how do you all keep your heads straight when you go home to realize that there's another side of the world that you don't get to regularly deal with? I mean, how do you do that?
That is not easy. You do have to learn to take that time for yourself, a lot of self-care, just take time away, do things for yourself. You have to turn it off as best you can, but we have cell phones that we have victims call us when we're not, you know, 8 to 5, when we're not on call. And it's hard not to pick up that phone when it rings and you know it's that victim that you've been working with. It's not your time, but that work phone is ringing and you know it's that victim, or they text you. But you have to learn how to manage that.
So you have learned to discipline yourself that when you finally call it a day, it's a day.
Yes,
that is correct. And one of the things that we would like to share is victim services is not 8 to 5. It is not Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Victim services is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is why there's always a victim advocate on call if someone needs assistance. It is all 365 days a year. One of the things with victim services, as you were saying about how do we shut it off. I know when I first started thinking about becoming a victim advocate, I worked for the YMCA for 15 years. So that was a difference. And I was in the Army also. So there was different YMCA, military, law enforcement. It's just different. But I remember one of the officers telling me, you just have to learn how to leave it. You can't take it with you home, even though, like Robin Cruz said, it's very difficult. You got to know how to shut it off. And that self-care is so important, not just for advocates, but just in law enforcement in general. And just every day, how do you shut off where you can have that time for yourself, where you're getting refreshed, you're being restored? Because if we can't get refreshed and we can't give out something that we don't have, then we're not going to be able to effectively serve our victims if we're dry.
So go take a walk or get on the treadmill or ride a bicycle or go do something to get it out of your system.
Yes.
Woo. All right.
Absolutely.
So the most common issue, I mean, take me through the process. Let's just say there was a breaking and entering and somebody lost everything they had. They kept their money in their house, their TV was taken, their radios were taken, all that kind of stuff. So do you get called in on something like that?
We very well could. It might start out with maybe a bond hearing. We might receive the VNI on that, or we might get a call for it. We might have to go to a bond hearing, especially if there was an assault. We might end up at a bond hearing asking, helping to ask for a denial of a bond in case of an assault and something like that, or asking for a very high bond. And sometimes a victim might want to go to that or they might not, but we might need to speak on behalf of the victim and advocate for that bond, either to be set or, you know, a high bond or a no bond. And then if the charge ends up in magistrate court, like damage to property or theft of property that's in magistrate court, then we would be helping that victim to negotiate that case, working with the officer and with the victim to get restitution and then collect restitution on behalf of that victim and help collect it from that defendant to give to that victim so that they aren't having to have contact.
Right. But even before then, if a call comes in and somebody is just distraught over what has just happened to them, are you there to try to calm them down and say, look, we can help you with this, 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 and this? We want you to know that somebody is here on your side.
We take many calls like that, where people call and they're distraught, and we have to help them through that process, help them locate counseling, help them locate resources in the community. Probably one of the biggest calls we get is people asking about restraining orders and what's that process. And we help them understand what they need in order to obtain a restraining order, and then help them understand the difference in a restraining order and an order of protection, and what is it that they actually need.
So there you're back to the domestic thing again.
Yes.
Which seems to be a lot of what you're doing.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So when the call comes in from a distraught spouse, This has just happened. When that call gets in 911, do they automatically call you as well as the sheriff's deputy? I should say both of these ladies are both sworn deputies for the sheriff's office. But do they call you and an officer who's on call in the area? I mean, how does that work?
Yes, that is correct. What our process is at the sheriff's office is if there's any domestic violence calls, the responding officer is to contact dispatch to notify the victim advocate that's on call. And at that point, we will get the information, what's going on with that call, and then the officer will provide the victim information, case numbers, what's going on, kind of give us an idea of what we're dealing with. And then we go through something with the victim called a lethality assessment.
A what?
It's called a law enforcement lethality assessment. That's going to cause us to assess what type of domestic violence case that we're working with, because domestic violence is not cookie cutter. It's not all the same.
Right.
They're different victims. They're different needs. They're different histories. So that assessment, we ask about 12 questions on that assessment. Some of them, the main ones are, have the abuser ever used a weapon against you? Have they ever threatened to kill you? Have they ever threatened to kill you or the children, kill themselves? So do they have possession of firearms?
Right.
So those are some questions that we want to ask when it comes to domestic violence, because oftentimes domestic violence may be presented with weapons involved. So we want to make sure not only that victim is going to be safe, but also the officers who are responding to the home, because we want to know if there's weapons in the home, and maybe the victim forgot to tell the officer about the weapons, but when they talk to us, they seem to be a little bit more comfortable, and they tend to give us more information. In turn, we can respond and give that information to the officer for their safety as well. So we will assess them with the lethality assessment. And then if it's not a lot of yeses that's answered, we will always recommend an order of protection, as Robin Cruz mentioned about maybe the restraining order protections, which they are totally different. The restraining orders are the harassment based. This person is harassing me. It keeps continuing. I've told them to stop. They won't stop. Orders of protection is that intimate partner component, where they're living together, cohabitating, they have children together, they used to live together, married, not married, used to be. So there are some things like that will put that order protection. Well, we would highly recommend that they get an order protection if they're wanting to be safe moving forward.
Boy, oh boy, I can't imagine what that discussion is like. Jeez. So you're a referee in many. I mean, when you walk into these situations, that's what you've got to be.
And so, referee, a counselor, you name it, we put on that hat and become it to that person. And they call us, and some don't want anything to do with us immediately. But then others, they cling to us, and they come back over and over and call for help to walk them through the process.
So if you refer them to another agency for whatever need they might have, and if there's a cost associated with that, is that their responsibility, or does the sheriff's office have some funding that can help out in distraught situations?
It's not exactly the sheriff's office, but the state has funding. Mm-hmm. The Department of Crime Victim Compensation is one of the funds that we use for medical expenses, funeral expenses, counseling expenses, and we can fill out that application and help victims of crimes. And then it's that program then processes that application. So we can't promise those funds, but those funds are available. And then there are community resources that we use to help with, well, there's pantries, food pantries,
sure,
and stuff like that.
Yep.
But then I was thinking there's also the SC VAN, South Carolina Victim Assistance Network, that helps us with towing and groceries and housing.
Home repairs. When you asked about home break-ins.
Yes.
They break through the door, then we can get services for home repairs, basic home repairs.
So you've got a whole library of places that you can go to help out this victim. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, the object is to get these people back up on their feet, get them through this trauma that they've been through, and then hopefully they would say bye-bye to you and just go about their life.
Absolutely, yes.
Does that happen very often?
I just actually had a case I was sharing with our supervisor, I think a week or two ago, and I had a case recently, and after doing all the services, I did that last service, and she said, you know, Tina, I think we're okay now. You know, we're good. We're on our feet, and that's what we want to hear. It's not all the time that we hear that, but we try as victim advocates to provide those resources that person needs in that particular situation to help them move forward from the trauma and hopefully get them on their feet where they will no longer need us, but they know that we're there for them if something ever came up again. And hopefully it won't be the trauma. It may be just seeing us on the street and go, hey, how are you? You know, so hopefully we'll get them to that point eventually.
But as you referenced, a lot of these cases you're dealing with are multiple incidents. It's not just a one-time incident.
That is correct.
Yeah. And when you have the multiple incidents, you're just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, it's interesting. I've done programs here with the women's shelter people. I can't remember the name of it now. But anyway, it's just striking to me how in domestic violence situations that the spouse who has been traumatized will end up going back with the spouse that created the trauma and just setting this whole thing up to happen again. You see that regularly?
We do see that. That is part of the cycle of domestic violence. You know, the victim a lot of times is dependent on that suspect for rent. You know, that's part of even the trap that they're in and the manipulation. They've got that person at a point where they're totally dependent on them, and so they don't see a way out. And so we have to sometimes convince them that there are services mm-hmm. and there's help available and that we will walk them through that process. But that's not an easy thing.
It's not easy. Just think if we were in that situation and we're used to a certain level of lifestyle, and then all of a sudden because of violence, that lifestyle is changed. Because oftentimes, and I've noticed with this job, domestic violence covers all walks of life.
Oh,
it
yeah.
doesn't matter whether you're
rich, poor, black,
rich,
white.
Poor,
it don't make any
difference. It doesn't matter. The mentality of the trauma tends to be similarly because they want to still maintain some sense of level of comfort. So I may be comfortable with living where I'm living, but that's all I know. I may be comfortable living here. That's all I know. It's still going to interrupt my comfort. So like when Scrooge was saying, we do need those resources to let them know, hey, we do have some services out here for you. It is fearful for them to step out when you're used to someone providing, but there are services, like Ms. Cruz was saying, we can get the rent, first month's rent paid. We can get utilities paid, that there are services out there, deposits paid. Mm-hmm. So if they know that there's a community support and there's an effort to help them, then I think that would change a lot of what we see in our community.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, ladies, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. There is a magical way that we do this, but we're going to remind people. So we're going to do it together, three, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Your healthcare can't wait. Piedmont Medical Center has a full-service ER ready to accommodate any healthcare need. This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Medical Director of the Emergency Department at Piedmont Medical Center. From trauma care to imaging and lab services, we offer high-quality care with board-certified physicians. Don't delay in an emergency. Count on us to be here for you 24/7, 365 days a year. Learn more about Piedmont Medical Center's emergency room and check in online at mypmc.com/ercheckin.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Tina Marsh and Robin Cruz are with us. They're with the Sheriff's Office. They work with the York County Victims Advocate Services, and it's a very interesting story about what they try to do to help the victims, and they could be a victim of anything. Primarily, a lot of what they deal with is domestic situations. So I got it what you do with the spouse who has been traumatized. But I got to think that many times when you get on the scene, you find out that there's kiddos involved. And they're probably wondering, what's going on here? You know, this is my mom and my dad, and they're at each other's throats. So how do you handle that?
That's a good question, because oftentimes the children can be left out.
Right.
Sometimes it's the mother may be focused solely on the father. The father may be focused on the mother. I don't think that they intentionally mean to do that, but their spouses and, you know, or significant others. But when it comes to children, at that point, when children are present in domestic violence situations, that will probably generate a call to Department of Social Services to see if there are services that they can offer for the parents, such as parenting classes, if there are any resources, substance abuse issues that need to be addressed within the home, and also to see what kind of services the children may need, because the children can be traumatized by seeing mom or dad fighting all the time. Even just perception and just hearing it can really cause trauma, especially if a boy is seeing his father assaulting his mother quite a bit. That can create a lot of trauma with the boy thinking that that's okay. And even the girl seeing that maybe this is how I'm supposed to be treated by a man. And that's just not the case. So we want to try to get all the family involved in some type of counseling and provide those services for them, because we don't want to see them over and over again.
So if you really walk into a mess in the middle of the night and you realize something has to be done, like right now, can you get somebody from DSS to get on out there to help you?
Yes. They're actually on call as well. So okay. The officers can respond to dispatch and ask them to notify the on-call DSS caseworker so they can come out and assist as well.
So that's got to be the worst of the situations. You got mom and dad at each other's throats. And now the kids, who are innocent victims, are being shuttered off somewhere else because mom and dad are not capable of taking care of them because they can't take care of themselves.
That is correct.
So in that situation, when you look at this long list of services that you provide, I mean, what kinds of things are you going to bring to the table to try to get some semblance of order back to this family?
I think, for me, whenever I'm looking at a situation and a mother is willing to take the steps and maybe go for that order of protection, she's willing to step away and see the domestic violence for what it is, and she's wanting to move forward with that, and then we get to the part of the order of protection where it includes the children, and she's asking for custody, then I move forward with asking for that custody of those children. And I leave it on a judge to decide, because they can get temporary custody of children through an order of protection.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm helping that mother with that step if that's possible. So and, you know, a lot of times the mothers don't know that that's available. Mm-hmm. And so I talk with them about that. I ask them if they're wanting that. And I help them process that, and then I refer them to South Carolina Legal Aid has free lawyers, and then I can make the referral. It doesn't mean that they're going to accept the case, but I can make them the referral for custody to help them move forward with possible custody of their children. And again, these are steps to get them away from that situation, so that they don't stay in that cycle of domestic violence. You know, this is, to me, is the way that we want to go away from domestic violence, not keeping them in the cycle where in a bad situation.
Good Lord. So in the course of, I don't know, however you track this stuff in a month or a year, I mean, how many cases are you all dealing with? Does every call to the Sheriff's Department involve a victim's advocate assistance as well?
It could be.
Could be.
Some people call us for varieties, as I said in the beginning. It just depends on, they'll call, for example, they're having problems with their neighbor. The neighbor is coming on their side of the property. They're cutting their grass. They're spraying weed kill on their rose bushes. And they want to know how to apply for restraining order, or what can they do to stop it. So we may get calls that is kind of funny, but similar to that. Or different calls of an elderly parent that they're concerned about potential abuse in their family. What do I do about that? Money may have been stolen from their parent. What can they do? So it's a lot of different calls that come in for victim services.
So if somebody wants to get some help from victims services, do they have to file a formal complaint? Or can they pick the call phone up and call you all directly? I mean, how's
you can just look on our website. Mm-hmm. There's a place for victim services. It has our names. It has our email addresses, I think, or at least phone numbers. And you can just call. You don't have to have even filed a police report. You can call us and ask us about a situation. And, you know, you can talk to us that way. We can then tell you if you need to file a police report or if there's something else that you need to do.
So that's yourcountysheriffsoffice.com? Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
So if you go there and you start looking for the info, or the clicks, that'll get you directly to them. And don't think this stuff can't happen. I was thinking when you said about somebody getting upset about mowing the grass and what have you, let's remember the story of Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, whose neighbor got so upset about, you know, him cutting the grass on the other side, he went over there and beat the pulp out of him, broke a couple of ribs, and, I mean, it was a mess. So people, particularly now, with all this COVID stuff and being shut down, they're kind of wacko. They're wacko. Well, ladies, thank you for the work that you do. Thanks for being here today. Tina Marsh and Robin Cruz with the York County Sheriff's Office and the Victims Advocate Services. Nice job. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. They did so well the first time, we're going to get them to help us out a second time. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical formula, pretty simple. We're going to bellow it out loud at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.